You are now listening to The Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited. Welcome to The Invited Podcast. This week's episode features Jarrett J-Rod Doyle, a singer, songwriter, music producer, and engineer from St. Louis. J-Rod now resides in Atlanta, where his music career has taken off. And J-Rod earned his music technology degree from McNally University in Minnesota in 2015. And he created his own production company, Pioneers. And is also signed to, also signed to rapper K-Camp's label as a producer. Mm-hmm. He has earned a gold certification plaque as a mix engineer, which we'll learn more about later, and worked with an array of artists, including Kanye West. He recently released his own EP, Love Language. I'm super excited. Cedric's excited. Beforehand, we were saying how easy it was to prepare for this because we literally have so many questions for you. So we hope we can fit it into an hour. But J-Rod, thank you for joining us today.
No problem. Thank y'all for having me.
Yes, sir. Definitely appreciate you for coming on. And so just most recently, you've mixed K-Camp's most recent album, Float, which came out August 13th. So for those that don't know much about music or the behind the scenes, can you tell us what mixing and engineering is, what all that entails, and what was your role in the project?
So pretty much, let's see the best way to explain it, or it ain't all technical. all right, so mixing... It's pretty much I make it sound good.
Okay.
I don't want to say like sound good in like that way, but it's in like a sonic way. Like I make sure it's at a level where, you know, where you listening it to it, it's not sounding crazy. Vocals not going wild. The beat's not too loud. You know, it actually sounds like a radio record. So that's what it mixing and engineering. That's what I do. They bring the record to me. I kind of just get the sound quality together, make it radio ready. You know, so that's pretty much what it is. So, yeah, I did that whole project. So,
what was your favorite part about working on that project since it did just come out most recently? And it is a banger, by the way. So, what's been your favorite part about that project?
I think my favorite part, this one was, I would say it was a little more organic. It was more family oriented. This project was a little bit more, we sat in on the project. We did a little different approach in a sense. We kind of took our time with it. We, explored new realms type deals. We tried new sounds, pushed our limits on the mixing side, the production side. We opened stuff back up. We revisited, you know, a bunch of stuff. We just kind of, you know, approach this project a little differently. So I think just having the whole team together doing that for weeks and, you know, planning and brainstorming ideas. That pretty much all of it. It was just a dope little process to kind of just see it all unfold from like where we went from last time and then just let's do it again. But how can we do it different? How can we make it better? So I think that was the best point. Just seeing ourselves like elevate through that process and, continue to build and grow. So.
And you mentioned that the process was like organic, and I read an article that you and K-Camp are friends just even outside of the music. So that plays a big role in, you know, in that musical process. How did you all meet? Like, how did this start?
I met K-Camp through one of my homeboys, one of my great friends, Callie, tattoo artist. He linked us. He was cool with them. They, you know, grew up down here. But I linked with them through Cali, and we just kind of just hit off on some, you know, homeboy type stuff. It was just casual, you know, whenever we link up, you know, casual, what's up, cool. And then eventually, you know, my homeboy Cali, you know, put the word and it was just like, you know, let them mix your stuff. So Camp threw me a few records and the rest history. Like,
yeah,
kind of showed my ass. So
connections, networking.
For real. For real.
And speaking of just being good at what you do, so when you know you have a hit record, how does that feel? Like, did you know like the album, the song that went gold was going gold? And like, how does it feel when you know you got a banger?
So that one was a little crazy because that was my first one. So Lottery, that was the first record that I mixed where, you know, it went actually platinum now. So,
but, okay.
So,
okay.
Yes. So yeah, new heights. But, that process, it was dope. Cause we was in New York and, you know, get the beat. We meet up with Reezy Renegade. He, you know, played a beat. It was crazy. Camp the next day, get in the studio, we record it. And it was just like one of them feel good records. It wasn't a lot of thought. It wasn't like, it was, I won't say like a lot of thought, but it was just one of those, once we was finished, it was just like, we got to put it out now. Like, it was just one of them in the moment. Can't wait. Can't, you know, let this feeling die down type of deal. So got the cover art, you know, and the team put it out and it kind of just organically, like just went off. Like, cause when it dropped, we didn't, it was just one of them records. You like, we knew it was dope. But for some reason, somehow, I'm not sure, TikTok got a hold of it. And it was like one of the first songs on TikTok would just fly out of here.
It was. Like,
it shocked me because I wasn't ready for it. It was like, whoa, that was dope seeing, you know, some of your work on everybody page. I mean, Obama, the president posted it. I'm sitting here like, whoa, that's crazy. Like,
yeah,
it's wild, but. It was a dope little process to see that unfold because it didn't feel like it at first. I won't say like it felt like, but it was just like you didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you everything you make you think is good, you know. So it's like we knew we had some, but we didn't know it was gonna do that.
Right.
I mean, maybe they did. I didn't. Yeah. You know, I'm new to the game. So but it was dope. I love that. I look forward to that type of stuff.
And J-Rod, tell us like how all of this started, like mixing, engineering. How did you get like into this space?
Mixing and engineering. So actually, I got into mixing engineering. It came from producing. I've been producing for years, probably since like 14, 15. I know early high school, I've been producing. So I know midway through high school, I kind of just knew what I wanted to do. Like I was real kind of focused and goal oriented on like I want to do music and I got to figure out a way to either make money off of because I don't care for nothing else. So it was like one of them type of deals. So I picked a college that was music focused, and once I got there I went because I thought I was going, you know, make better beats, and they was like, nah, that ain't what this is. It's like you got to learn how to work all of this. I'm like, so I had to, you know, learn how to mix. I had to learn how to work boards and understand every knob and what it do, how it works. And so it was like, I was one of them. And what was that, 2011? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2011 when I started. Yeah, it was 4 years. I just been sharpening my, you know, pencil ever since. So,
do you think that going to that school really prepared you? Because like a lot of times people are saying you can learn things outside of school, or school isn't for everyone, or school is. Do you think that was like really beneficial, or are those some of the things you could have learned like outside of the classroom?
It's a gift and a curse. The gift is what I was able to learn and how I was able to learn. I was able to learn in a controlled environment where once I got to the real world, it wasn't too many hazard situations for me because I knew what to do. Whereas, you know, if you don't, you kind of just get thrown in the fire and you figure it out. And sometimes that is the best way to learn for people. I know I learned later on in life that is the best way for me to learn. I just like to be thrown in the fire because I feel like that's my best. That's when I perform my best. So, but it was one of those things. It was like, I definitely wish out of high school, I went straight to Atlanta.
Really? Like,
the reason being is because I see people, you know, I guess not being in Atlanta and knowing that like, okay, the destination, Atlanta, how it was growing back then, it was like, I knew I wanted to go because hip hop scene is out of control right now. I want to be a part of it. So it was like knowing that I wanted to make sure I was being prepared. But at the same time, coming down here, I learned there's no real way to be prepared for this without being in the fire.
Yeah.
Because the music industry, entertainment industry, it changes every day. Every day there's something new that's going to flip your career and make you think different and move different. So it's like, I took all those years planning and it was good because I was sharpening skills. But at the same time, the most important part, which is, in my opinion, is networking and
using
relationships. I wasn't doing that because I was in college and I was in that world versus coming to Atlanta and just going off of let's network and then build my skills off of that. So it was like, it was a gift and a curse because I came down here, like I said, I didn't have to deal with a lot of hazardous situations. Once I was networking, it was a lot of, you know, I came in, I knew exactly what I needed to do to get myself in the door to prove, you know. So that's the good part. But like you said, the bad part was like, I could have learned on YouTube, to be
honest. YouTube University. Just like,
I could have. I could have. But I mean, like I said, you live and you learn. But
you know, journeys. So
facts. Facts.
And so you mentioned that you've already known that music was your like place. Like that's where you wanted to be. 14, 15. Mm-hmm. What was the response from your family, people around you?
To be honest, I've never had a negative response. That's ever. Cool. Like, it was like, my family's one of them. Like, we real tight. I love it. But I never had a negative response towards it. Like, my mom, she always kind of nurtured it. Like, either where I was, I'm trying to think, before I was even producing, I started playing in the band. I was in band in third grade. Mm. No, fourth grade. I started playing violin in fourth grade. I stopped violin. I started playing trumpet in the sixth grade. I was playing the drums, like private lessons for like a couple months. That was before I took up the trumpet. So then I did trumpet and then I was doing music all through school, high school. I was in the choirs, everything. So I didn't really have a negative response. It was just, I think my mom, she was more worried on me figuring out what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her trying to control what I'm doing. It was more like, find out what you want to do because you can't be here.
Make something happen.
Right. So it was like, all right, bet, let's do it. So I just, you know, like I said, I figured out what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it clicked. I was that kid coming home every day, making beats on FL every day, putting every virus on the computer. Downloading everything, trying to make beats like the everybody, Timbaland, Lex Luger, my everybody. I'm trying to copy all they sound. Yeah. I was that kid, like it was a dope experience. That's a good time. But yeah, my family, they real nurturing with that. So that's dope. I ain't never really had to deal with no negative side, no backfire or anything when it came to, you know, my music. It's just you believe, we believe. So
I love that. Love it.
And so you talked about how like music's always been a part of you since you were a young kid. Mm-hmm. So like, who are some of your influences? Like just sonically as an artist, as a producer, who are some of the people that heavily influenced you and like kind of created your sound?
Off the top, Otis Redding. Otis Redding, that's one of my favorite writers. It's weird because I got introduced to, I just like I knew about him. But I really got introduced in college. I had a teacher in college that had me singing a few of his songs.
Okay.
And just like, I don't know, I just gravitated towards Otis. Like his story, everything, the way he was able to write, how he writes, the way he sings, the soul, everything. So Otis is one. As far as artists, it's a bunch. I love a bunch of artists. Todd Dolla $ign, of course, you got to throw the Drakes, K Camp, like it's a bunch of them. But as far as production, that type of deal, I like the different production. I always like, I love to bounce. I love to hear a beat and it make you feel something.
Yeah.
So Timbaland, Pharrell, Mike Will, I'm trying to think. Lex Luger was one that I was heavy into growing up. There's a few. It was a bunch. I'm trying to think of some more. Sheesh. I don't know. I'm a music connoisseur. I listen to everything, man.
Same.
But I'm an old soul. I ain't even going to lie. I listen to it. I love sampling, listening to old stuff, bringing back ideas from that type of vibe just because, I don't know. I think we miss it sometimes. I miss it. So
mm-hmm. I feel that. Yeah. So, sample music is some of my favorite types of music. Those beats with the samples.
Yeah.
I swear.
Like, when you like recognize it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's
yeah. It feels good. Like, yeah.
or even the ones you don't recognize. Like you know, you hear the song for a long time, and then you hear the original like years later. You're like, oh, okay,
that's facts. Right. Facts. that's definitely. No, I love that stuff.
And who did you grow up hearing? Like, who did your family play like as a child?
Betty Wright. I was a Betty Wright fan. I used to love Betty Wright. Crazy. Betty Wright. Luther, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Monica, Kim, Anthony Hamilton, Jaheim. Yes. Like,
Taste.
My mom, she's neo soul queen. Like, in the car, grooving it out in the car seat. Like, Jill Scott, Air, but NDIRE, like,
all of that.
That's what I grew up on. Like,
yeah.
So that, and then of course, you know, the hip hop side, but yeah, it was a lot of soul. A lot of soul.
I had to ask because I feel like my parents' music choice played such a huge role in what I still listen to, like to this day. Songs from 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
That is so true.
Yeah.
So true. Cool.
And so you mentioned kind of like your move to Atlanta and like how like the city really embraced you. You embrace the city, the networking and things like that. So Kanye recently had the listening party for his upcoming album, and you were able to be a part of that in a capacity. Can you talk to us a little bit mm-hmm. about your role in that and how that came to be?
One of my mentors hit me up and he threw me the opportunity. He was just like, hey, you know, I got, you know, a play. If you know, want it, I'd be here at 8 a.m. I was like, bet.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever it's something like that, it's just like, you feel it's important. Like, and this was a call or text at like 3 a.m. So it's like, all right, I know this is important. Like, you telling me to be up in 5 hours? Like, right. So I'm like, okay. So he told me, he ran it by me, and I'm just like, okay. So he made the connects, and, you know, it was one of them, I just kind of got to be a fly in the room type of deal. Yeah. You know, it's not in the capacity that, you know, I want to eventually, but it's like, I just got to see the process. I got to witness greatness. It was like just being in the room, being able to, you know, help record and set up equipment and, just see the vibes and how it all runs, like this process. Like, it's amazing to watch this process of this man's mind. It's like, it's one man put all this together, all these people in here, how it's ran, how they all do it. It's one for the books for sure. But we need the album, need to drop it. I need to see if I'm on it.
Get those credits.
I need to.
That is such a big...
It was a dope experience. It was dope.
Yeah.
And talk about, like you said, like Kanye West. People, you can say what you want about him, but he's like a musical genius, right?
Man, like, come on.
From start to finish, like, he makes sure that all the sound, everything is very specific, and he knows what he wants.
Yeah.
What is your creative process like? Like, how do you typically feel or record? And is it better for you when you collaborate with others, or you just like locked into a room? Like, what's your process like?
To be honest, my process is when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I work best when I'm alone. I just think my ideas run without, they're unfiltered. Sometimes I feel like, even if it's your homeboys or people, you know, you love anytime, sometimes I feel like opinions get in the way.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good opinion, I feel like sometimes you need to just create without a boundary. And then once you create without a boundary, then try to put a boundary around it if, you know, it calls for one type deal. So I like to be alone because I just like to get every idea I have out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh. But as far as the how I record anything like that or produce anything, I'm not going to lie, I take a very, very Kanye approach. And the reason I say that is because I'm real, real, real particular about sounds and like how it's supposed to sound, or not say how it's supposed to sound, but placement. I'm real big on like, if something comes in at this time and then you hear this sound, there's a reason you hear this sound and why. Like, I like to add why to music.
Yeah.
Like, I like to, like, you already feel it. Yeah. So it's like, all right, cool. Now I want to add the why. I want you to be like, why am I feeling that? How? So that's how I always approach it. And I think often I think Kanye approaches music like that as well. It's just, it's more feeling. You do what you feel, and then people love that because it's raw, it's authentic, it's, like I said, unfiltered. Because a lot of times people want to be that, but half of the time they got opinions and they can't. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's my approach. I just want to be alone, get away. Let me record, do me, and then I'll show y'all. And then if y'all love it, y'all love it. If not, I'm going back in my hole.
I feel that, right? Though. Like, lay it all out there, and then I can reel it back in. Because like you said, if it, like, even if it's something good, it can still have an impact on what you keep or what you change. So that definitely makes sense.
All the time. Like, I just be thinking all the time, like, what if somebody, like Missy Elliott said it perfect in one interview. I think she was on a Breakfast Club, I believe. She was like, imagine if somebody was in the studio when Michael Jackson was doing the hee-hee and was like, what you doing, bro? Like, it's that simple. Like, what if somebody was like, bro, what are you on? And he just took it out. Like, that iconic hee-hee, what if we never got that? That's just be real. Thinking about, like, I don't want that. I want every idea I got. Let me get them out. And then, you know, we can change after that. Because I at least want to say I had the idea out first because I didn't try it. So,
yeah. That's some good advice. That's real.
They don't know your dreams and they can't shoot them down. Ooh. So like,
oh God, oh God,
stuff tucked away for a little bit.
Oh God, for real. I agree, 100%.
And J-Rod, I got to ask you more about Atlanta. So right after high school, you moved to Minnesota and then you moved to Atlanta. Do you ever miss home? Like, what is it like?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I won't say I miss home. I miss my family.
Yes.
Like, St. Louis is like, I love St. Louis, but I love what I've become away mm-hmm. from St. Louis in a sense, because I feel like I was able to just flourish into something that I didn't see there in a sense. And not in like a, you know, a negative way. I just feel like sometimes you outgrow places. Like, it was just one of those things. I feel like I didn't really have any other building blocks that I could see that was going to take me to where I wanted to be. So it was like, all right, I had to get out to move, but mostly it's my family. Like, if I want to go back, but the good thing about my family, they tired of St. Louis too. They be in Atlanta. So I ain't got to be tripping. They be down here. So yeah.
We both understand that sentiment very well. Cause we, you know, moved out of the hometown mm-hmm. and yes, you do become a different version of yourself. You're meeting different people, trying different things. And you're also challenged to step outside of your box. Exactly. So I definitely feel that.
Agreed.
And so we spend a lot of time on the production piece, but mm-hmm. you also do the singing and songwriting as well.
Yes.
Tell us more about yourself as an artist. What can the listeners, when they think of J-Rod the artist, what can they expect?
Everything I said before, that soul, all of it, Betty, Kim, Jaheim. Nah, like, I'm one of them. Like, I just like to, I'm a melodic person. My music, mm-hmm. it makes you feel good. Like, it's sensual, it's real, like, I'm going to say, it's romanticized in a sense. Okay. It's very romanticized because it's, whether the topics are about romance or not, is I like to do it in a way where it's just like, it feels good. No matter what the topic is, you feel good listening to it. And I also like to make the music relatable in a sense, whether it's a good or a bad topic. I always wanted to make, you know, sense in a perspective where it's like, oh, I completely get that. Whether I'm male, female, I get that. Like, I understand. I've been through that. So, it's very relatable. It feels good, sultry, and I love beats. I'm a producer, so I got good beats, y'all. Good beats.
Confidence.
Yeah,
yes.
I love beats. I love them. Like, I love it. Like I said, I want you to feel something. So I don't care if it's R&B or not. Like, I don't care if it's slow or not. I want that 808 to hit.
Yeah.
I want you to feel your shoulders, your head knocking. I want it all. So
all of it,
and I want you to be able to sing it back. So
how much of your how much of your own content comes from your own experiences versus, you know, some things that may happen to a friend or a family member? How much is like super relatable to like your own path?
I would say it's about 90-10. About 90-10. It's all about me for sure. But there's a couple of times where, you know, you hit that writer's block and I'm just like, all right, I want to try something different. Give me an idea or throw something like. So I do that, you know, from time to time. But a lot of time I just talk about either what I've been through or what I'm currently going through. And being in Atlanta, Jesus, stories.
I'm sure.
Jesus.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's all out of just stories. So I got a lot to talk about. So yeah. But yeah, it's definitely a lot of my experiences. That's why I feel it's relatable, because I feel like, you know, outside of all the music and everything, and man, we all human, we all go through the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just, you know, I like to talk about it. I like to actually put everybody in those same shoes so you can play this song back and be like, yeah, I understand every emotion in this. Like, so.
Okay. So for someone who does as much as you do, like you have many different hats, what does a typical day look like if you have one?
I do not. I don't know what that is. It's all over the place. Like, and it's weird because I have days where I wake up and I'm like, all right, let's produce. And I want to make beats. But I have days where I'm like, all right, I want to record. And then I have days where I have to mix records for clients or send out beat packs for clients, or I'm helping write something. So it's all over the place. It's one of them. I mean, it's a good problem. Like, I'm not a routine person, so it works for me. I don't like routines that much. Certain things, yes, but I don't like every day is the same thing. I don't like
crazy.
That. So, yeah, like, I'll be going. Yeah, it feels too, nah, can't do it. Corporate, but that it just feel like that. So, so yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't think I have a I'm trying to really think of what a typical day is. Like,
if you can't answer at 6 in the morning, I'll be there by 8. Life ain't that typical.
Yeah, like, see, yeah. Like, that's what I've been going through. Like my life is weird. Like, let's just say, like, last week I was going to sleep at 4 in the morning. And this week I'd be waking up. That's probably this week, every day I've woken up. Yeah, I'm probably waking up right like 5 a.m.
Oof.
Every day, and it just be like, and it ain't even like I got something to do.
Yeah,
it's just because my sleep schedule did flip 50 times. It's like, there's no such thing as a typical day. I just, luckily enough, I'm able to, you know, live off of my craft and do all of them consistently. So I really just get to pick and choose most of the time. I come up, you know, at nights I'm like, all right, I want to record, or during the day I want to produce. Mix my records, listen back. I really just have fun a lot, to be honest. I'm not even going to flex.
What do you do with your free time?
Music. Music. Or, I mean, to be honest, I'm a shopper. I like shopping for clothes. I ain't even going to flex clothes. Shoes, hats. Outside of that, I'm a homebody. I'm one of them. I'm going to invite somebody over.
And
I'm just going to relax in this period. Like, I don't care too much for going out. I mean, I have my moments where, you know, you want to be out, do your thing type deal. But most of the time, I want to be in the crib, in my own vibe, doing my own thing. Or in a control vibe where, you know, I can do my own thing. Because it's like, yeah, I get tired of people fast. I'm an introvert. So like, that's me.
I feel that completely.
And so you just mentioned like potentially songwriting for someone else. What's the biggest difference between, I guess, writing for yourself and producing for yourself versus writing for others and producing for others?
Biggest difference? I don't have to worry about nobody saying no. That's the biggest difference. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about nothing. Like, for me, it's because I've been doing it so long, it's such a repetitive type of deal for me now. So I know what I want, how I want it to, you know, if I want something to do this, I know exactly what to do to get it. Whereas if you write something for somebody else, they can have your words, they can have your notes, but at the same time, they got to kind of make it their own. Yeah. And they're going to do different things. So it's a different process for sure. I definitely enjoy writing for myself more, but yeah, it's a different process. I love both of them, but yeah, writing for yourself is definitely way better. It's just way more personal. You could do more. I don't have to worry about your rules, how you want to talk, how you want to, you know, oh, I don't want to sing as much, or I want to rap a little more. Whereas I don't think about none of that. I just create.
Right. It's
like, I get mine. So yeah, it's definitely a difference, but yeah, I'm definitely solid with the writing for myself more.
Creative freedom.
And speaking of like creating for yourself, like how do you manage or measure your own success? Like how do you measure your growth as an artist? How do you measure if something's good or not? Like, especially when you're, like you said, you're locked into a room, it's just yourself.
To be honest, I battle with my last song every day. That's the only thing I do. Yeah. And whatever I made last, that's my competition. Like, that's how I look at it.
J-Rod, so when we talk to people about St. Louis and our music scene, everybody has jokes about us having Nelly and Chingy and that being it. Like, that's literally all we hear all day. Are there some underrated St. Louis artists that you can recommend for our listeners?
For sure. It's a bunch. I'm trying to think. We got my boy J-Hop, of course. I love Smino.
Yes, yes.
My homie Malcolm Xavier. I got my boy Josh. Cartier Q. I got trying to think. Get some more. I'm missing some. Don't hate me, y'all.
They understand. Now this is a really good list so far.
I'm trying to figure out some more. I know I'm missing a few. I'm missing a bunch of them. But yeah, St. Louis got a lot of talent. Y'all gotta start sleeping on this.
Really?
We got a lot of talent. Like, all over the place, especially music-wise. Like, it's crazy. I be finding artists all the time from St. Louis. They be hitting me up, too. Trying to think. There's one cat, Cole, I just found. If I go on my IG, but I ain't trying to interrupt this again. But
you can tell us later, too.
Facts. I got y'all.
Okay.
But yeah, we got a bunch of artists. Like, people can't sleep on St. Louis at all. We got a bunch, but we're gonna wake them up sooner or later. They'll figure it out.
Definitely.
And you just mentioned like reaching out to other artists, working with a few different people hitting you up, you hitting people up. Who's some people you looking forward to working closer together with in the near future?
Man. I ain't gonna flex. That Kanye one was huge. That was one of my top bucket list ones. Still got to get that one in again. But trying to think. I definitely want to work with more St. Louis for sure. Smino one. I want to go R&B. I want to go deep on. I want SZA. I want to work with her. Yeah. Lucky Day. Yes. Brent. Like, I want to go that side. That's one. That's the side. Ty Dolla Sign, Division. Those type. Like,
yeah.
That's where I want. Exactly. I sit over there. The Snowy Leopards. That's the side of music I sit on.
Yeah. It's going to happen. Yeah, I see it.
Hey, we manifesting for sure.
Yes. Yes. And so, J-Rod, talk to us also about your own company. So talk to us about Pioneers.
So, yeah, that's my production company. This is just my, you know, what I house myself under, what I run everything under for myself. That's just, you know, my building blocks. Eventually, I want to branch off with that. But right now, it's mostly just, I want to say mostly, it is me. It's my, you know, just my brand, how I want to build it, you know, where I want to take it. So I just got the legal side out the way. So eventually, when I get to that point where I want to actually push and build a collective or a creative team around that whole Pioneers brand that I actually can. So, but yeah, right now, it's just me focusing on building that brand for myself, so I can actually get an opportunity for other people. So
I love that.
You got the brand on the production side taken care of, but you also got the brand on the artist side booming.
Mm-hmm.
Released a couple singles this year. You got Conversation, you got Tie Me Down. Tell us about those two singles and kind of the inspiration behind those.
To be honest, Conversation, what was the inspiration behind Conversation? That one was, I ain't even gonna flex. That one was one of those, I kind of hit a wall in my love life in a sense, like where I kind of just came to an understanding of like certain shit just don't matter. Like, kind of just, yeah. I just had an awakening moment. Like, so I just kind of woke up and this whole like nonchalant kind of attitude kind of came over me. And that was one of those first songs in that mood that I had. It was just like how I feel in a relationship. It's like, I don't know how I felt at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's an introvert song. It's one of those like you want love, you talk about it, you get it, but I just don't want to talk. I don't have the capacity to give you the conversation you need. I give you everything else but that. So it was just one of those. I was kind of in a place where, like I said, I was in an introvert type of world. So that's Conversation. Tie Me Down. But yeah, Tie Me Down is the concept that I'm actually running with now, the project I'm about to get ready to release in September and do my rollout for. That one is, like I said, it's a feel-good love song. It's one of those you with your lady or guy or whatever, and you, it's that comfort. It's that, it's one of those, I feel like, songs that you can play for your lady and it say everything you need to say without saying.
Gotcha.
Like, that's kind of how that song is. So it's like one of those, you know, how you move and what you do for me and how, you know, we love each other. That's what's going to make me hang my jersey up tight. So that's what that is. But like I said, personal experience is what I go through, but we're finna roll out a good probably 6-7. I got some stuff in store for y'all for sure. It's finna get good.
So give the listeners a little preview to that. You say you got a few things rolling out. What's coming next? What you got cooking in the next couple months?
Actually, I'm starting September 3rd. First single that I'm dropping. I'm finna start rolling out my next project. Trying to think everything without really trying to give it away. Because I want the rollout to actually, I want y'all to see the rollout. I feel like it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. So, and it's just me kind of reinvent myself, trying to put all those hats on in one, in a sense.
Yeah.
This project is a new J-Rod. You get more beats. It's not as slow, is more emphatic. Like every song knocks in the car. Like, yeah, it's one of them. Everything is feel good music. So I'm excited to roll it out for y'all. September all the way through October. So we got a good 2 months.
Okay.
2 months of content.
So just wait, pretty much.
Yes, sir.
And I've been listening. I've been checking it out. For our listeners, you'll be able to find it on our invited podcast playlist. What was my favorite? I think it was called Rain On It. Is that the title?
Yeah, that was one of the first.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I was going way back, and I was like, oh, I really like this. So yeah, listeners can, you know, find a few options on that playlist. I'm excited to hear more. Hear the, you know, the new J-Rod, and definitely see what you have to offer. And so as we're getting towards the end of our interview, but we're also kind of getting towards the end of the year where it's almost September. So as the year is winding down, is there like a specific task you want to accomplish before 2021 is over?
Specific task. My self-elevation. Like, I just want to see my process. I want to be in a better position than I am right now. It's as simple as that. Like, I want to continue to grow. My task right now is to just get this project out.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it, get the project out, get them videos shot how I want them to be shot, and give y'all consistent content to the point where people can say, oh, J-Rod is dropping music. This is an artist, you know. So just my goal right now is to just continue to build my fan base, gain more people, you know. So that's what I think this project is perfect for. This is a rollout over multiple weeks, just slow grind. I'm gonna grab hundreds at a time. It's gonna keep building. So yeah, that's my task right now, to just keep dropping music, just to get a fan something to listen to, something to feel, especially for, you know, the fall time. So
gotcha. Keep writing, keep working.
Of course.
And so we have like just a little segment that we're gonna do. It's gonna consist of what we call a draft. So the topic of the draft is most listened to albums. We all music heads. Mm-hmm. So this is your personal most listened to albums. So you're just gonna do five, and essentially we're gonna order. You'll go first, Tia go second, I'll go third. But if someone picks an album or mixtape, we'll add that in to there too.
Okay, I like that.
I like that one.
You cannot pick something that someone else already picked.
Okay.
So we're gonna put you on the spot here. Most listened to album. What's your first choice?
Oh, most listened to album, first choice.
And for you, I'm about to say something. Something you haven't worked on, because you haven't worked on a lot of stuff, so of course you
have a lot. Okay,
something you just listened to that you haven't been a part of.
Something that I just listened to. Favorite album to just throw on.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. September 4th, Division.
Okay.
That might be. I won't say first favorite, but I can't think of nothing else. But that's one of them. That's one of them.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
My brain goes directly to Take Care. Drake is like it's a classic.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say
I got it first.
I was gonna say it.
And see, I'm kind of salty about that because that was my first choice.
I already know.
So I feel like it's the perfect, it's like fall is coming up. So like the perfect fall album, like it just makes the music for, you know, when it's dark, it's cold,
exactly.
Things like that. So I think that would have been my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, I probably listened to Friday Night Lights by J. Cole a lot, especially like in high school.
Yeah.
It was like another one of those. It dropped in like the fall, like the music just made you feel like you need to be inside or in the heat. But it was like, because it was, the album's fire too. So, you know what I mean?
That was on my list.
That would be my first choice.
Okay.
All right, say less. So what we got? Second pick?
Yes, sir.
Second pick. I'm vibing what I'm throwing on. Brent.
Okay.
Fuck the World. Got to.
That one is nice.
Got to.
I've never heard a full Brent album. Maybe I'm sleep.
Sleep.
Sleep. Snoozing.
I'm going to have to give it a listen and wake up. Okay. My number two. You took my... Oh, Cushion OJ.
Okay.
Easy.
Go on.
Yeah.
That's another one. See, for me, I relate music a lot to like the weather and when it came out. So for me, that's like a summer. That's like a summer album, spring album. So that was like summer, like my spring junior high school, something
how
like
the
that.
Yeah, you remember that.
Exactly.
Every album is like a season. Like I can relate an album to what I was going through at that point in time. So
okay, so it's time.
Yeah, time, season, all that.
Okay.
So you say Cushion OJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, this is another one that I just listened to a lot when it came out, and I can still listen to it to this day. I do Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City.
Of course. Of course.
Like, undefeated, okay. Top. Have you not listened to that whole album either?
I have, sure, maybe. I know most of the tracks on there.
Oh, man.
You know how I listen to
albums. It ain't looking good. Hey, man. Oh, dang. That is a good one. I want to say damn, but I'm going to say honorary mention just because you said Kendrick's. Yeah. Because that one, I got it. I'm going to say number six. That got to be six. But
it's a six, man.
Right. I'm going to probably go. I don't know if people listen to this, but this is one of the first albums that really got me into like, oh, this is a dope way to do R&B music now. Like, and it was Ty Dolla $ign, Sign Language. Like,
okay.
I'm not even hip on that one.
Oh, go listen. That's one of them. Like, that was after, I don't want to be wrong. I don't know if it was before or after Beach House. I want to say after, but I feel like that's when Ty like woke up for me. I was like, whoa, what is this? What is this? Like, so yeah, sign language.
I gotta see the album cover. Like, I gotta see what the art looks like because I'm the names I'm not hip on.
To be honest, it was like it was a mixtape. It wasn't really even an album. It was one of them like Dap Piff I found, you know, just like, listening. Whoa. I'm like, oh, whoa.
Okay,
like,
Ty.
Yeah. Thanks. Like, so yeah.
My number was three.
Yeah.
My number three. I feel like I just had it in my head. Ooh. Okay. I listen to Alina Baraz a whole lot.
Okay.
I love Alina Baraz. Yes. The album before the most recent, the one that has Fallen, Yours, oh, okay.
The Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
That's a hit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've never listened to a full project with the singles hit, so I'm about to tap in. But for me, I'm going to take it back a little bit.
Okay.
This was like, let me see, what year was this? Freshman year of high school, I want to say.
Okay.
Chris Brown Exclusive. I feel like that one, that's the second album. The one after the self-titled Chris Brown, the second one.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing but bangers.
Chris got hits.
You want to know something crazy? I've never listened to that album all the way through.
What?
So I it's get a weird. Pass. For other albums.
It's crazy. I just really thought about that. I'm like, I know the cover is purple, mm-hmm. right?
It's
the black and white.
Nah.
Yeah.
He like sitting there like in the he's standing there like a suit.
Yeah, the one like popping his arm. Yeah,
purple. It was is it purple in the picture at all?
Mm-mm.
No, but Poppin's on the first album. Poppin's on the self-titled.
Am
Chris
I mixing
Brown.
Albums up?
This one, the singles on this one.
Which one had Take Me Down? Or Take Me Down
was the first album, Chris Brown.
That's oh, okay. Chris that's Brown. What I'm talking about. Okay, okay. No. See, yeah. I don't think I got into exclusive like that. But it's weird because I got into everything after.
Yeah.
But I don't know exclusive. It was like when he went to the, I think exclusive to the.
I think next was.
Pop.
Yeah, like.
What was it? EXO
or something. Like either Graffiti or Fame.
I like Graffiti. I like what he did with Tyga. Oh, that was one of my favorite Chris Brown moments.
Yeah.
Fan of a fan.
Yeah, that was dope.
Fan of Fan was good.
Yeah. There's a problem on that one. That's when, hey, I ain't even gonna flex. I'm gonna just do it just because I got to throw Tiger in there. I got you. Well done? The whole series.
See, one, I only like Well Done three. One.
Okay. Ah, Tiger was going bananas. Tiger was going bananas. Tiger was going crazy. It was Tiger. It was Wayne. They was dropping.
Yeah.
Do it. That's No Ceilings, Wayne. Like,
okay,
top tier.
I'm gonna have to go back and look through the track list for Well Done 3. But my number four,
hold on, Will. Hmm. Oh, yeah, you did four. Never mind. Go ahead. My bad.
My number four would be, made me forget. Oh, Joey Badass America. That's a good album.
I never really listened to it.
To him or to that album?
No, I've listened to Joey before. That album, not for real. I got to get into it.
It was good. Cedric and I actually were going to go see him tour for that album in concert. We had tickets, didn't even end up going. And I still hate myself to this day. But please, so you put that on your list. So America.
The reason we didn't go is the story for another podcast. So,
yeah.
And so four for me, speaking of Wayne, I have to go Carter 3. I listened to that like nonstop over and over and over. And like, that's when I was in like, it's like summer going to sophomore year, I want to say, high school.
You go again.
Exactly.
But it was crazy because like my parents, they like, basically had the clean version.
I'm cracking
so, even to this day, when I hear the explicit version, I'm singing the clean version still. Oh, but either way,
a lot of songs, yeah.
Top two.
Hey, I knew it was at a point I knew every word to every song to that one. Like, it was that good.
Flames. I'm
trying to think. I gotta.
This your last one.
I'm gonna go back to the R&B side just because R&B. So I'm gonna have to. Do I want to do that? My last one, y'all put pressure on me. It's crazy. This is crazy. I feel like it's disrespectful without throwing no Drake in there.
Yeah.
Or no Kanye.
It is.
Oh, man. Well, you said take care, so I feel good.
Okay.
Because that made me feel good because I listened to it. So I'm gonna say yay. I'm gonna have to go with. It's a tie. We got 5 and 5A.
Okay.
You got My Twisted Dark Fantasy and Graduation.
Yeah, Graduation is my favorite.
That's either one. Either one. You throw it on, I'm gonna listen to the whole project. I don't even care. It don't matter what song, I'm gonna start the whole project. Like,
I feel that. My number five. Okay, so obviously I'm better with track titles than album names. So I'm gonna go with what I know. My most recent favorite new album, Chloe and Halle's latest project. They switched up their style. They beautiful voices, harmony is amazing because they're sisters. And the songs are good, like Chloe and Halle's album.
What's the name of the project?
What is it called?
Why did I ask you that? You just said you're not good with titles. Oh man, my bad. I'm trying to learn information for myself.
No, that's sad. That's sad that I don't know. So I'm gonna make sure I let you know.
Their latest project. The oldest stuff, but I ain't heard their newest project.
You got to, because it's so different.
You said they switched their sound up. Yeah, I want to hear what that sound like.
Yeah, it's much more hip hop, much more current.
And that's what I want to hear. Good. Yeah. Say less. I'm tapping in. I say it is.
Last one.
All right. And so this takes me back to age. No, I'm just joking. I don't know this age. This, I'm probably like the year 2000. We're going to go just because this is like my first album I had on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Had the CD player, had the clean version again. You gotta go with Nellyville. I listen to that nonstop.
Hey, I appreciate you, my boy, for throwing in there. You're a real one. Hey, man, we got a good list here. We got a good list. I listen to any of these albums, to be honest.
I know. And so, what we're gonna do, we're gonna put a graphic up on our socials with all of our selections, and we're gonna let Instagram decide who had the best list. That's what we gonna do. So I think I have a pretty solid list. We'll see what the listeners have to say.
Yeah.
Hey Liz.
We'll see. That was fun. I like doing drafts. I like doing music drafts.
For sure. I ain't never got asked that. That was dope.
For sure. And we just have a few more questions about to wrap up. I thought of this today randomly. I was like, I want to ask him this. What is one thing that you wish you had more time for?
One thing I have more time for.
Yeah.
That question is really hard for me. And the reason is because my life ain't scheduled. It's so sporadic. So I feel like I be getting time for everything that I at least want to do or be trying to do at least. I would probably say like my thinking family. Because I'm a real goal-oriented person. Like I'm real like if I lock in on something, I'm there, like full vision, everything don't matter. So like, I know often I get tunnel vision in my career, like I can go weeks without talking to nobody and, you know, no love lost in that, I be, you know, focused. So I would definitely say that, like getting better with that, that's probably the only, I can't really think of nothing else because I have time for really everything that I want to do. Or at least I make time for it. So
that's beautiful.
But yeah, probably family. But I don't think, who can't have enough family? Right.
That was the same thing I was thinking too. I was like, he's probably gonna say family. So, okay.
Nah, for real.
And so, with the upcoming album rollout, you wear many different hats. Where can people find out everything about you? Your Instagram, Twitter, where can they get the album? Drop all the info.
Everything. So any social, Instagram, Twitter, J-Rod Pioneers. That's J-R-O-D-P-I-O-N-E-A-R-S.
Yes.
Pioneers. So, yeah, that's that. As far as, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, any streaming service you listen to, search J-Rod. It'll pop up. I'm starting to get a little more popular, so my name moving up that list. So, <Yes. laughs> but yeah, it'll pop up. You can find some vibes. Trying to see. Yeah, I'm a real low key person, so yeah, the best way is through those, like Instagram, because that's where I'm gonna be at for this rollout for real. Instagram and YouTube, putting everything out. So Facebook occasionally, I got a couple of fans over there. So I like to cater to, that's my St. Louis fan base, to be honest. Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really the St. Louis fan base. So I catered to Facebook and the Instagram and everybody else.
Got you.
Because you didn't have the Facebook from the beginning. So that's the people
that's right. Right. So you know that's y'all that they whole won. Everybody.
Yeah. And so we'll be sure to tag all of your socials. And then I just have one more question for you on my side. So for a listener wanting to like gain more skills and perfect their craft, maybe follow kind of in your footsteps. Is there software or a platform that they have to have? And is there a piece of equipment they need to invest in?
Let's just say if you are a singer, I'm gonna start with producer. If you're a producer, get a laptop, computer, you choose, it don't matter. Get a laptop, download FL Studio, Logic, Pro Tools, you choose DAW you want to use, or you know, workstation you want to use to create. There's a bunch of free ones out. But get your own setup. Get your own setup to do your own thing. I think that is always my advice for anybody that wants to get in music, just because you don't have to deal with, you know, the pains of the music industry sometimes, trying to get studio time. Freshman year in college, like, that was my first thing. All right, got to buy speakers, got to buy a mic, an interface, computer, need it. And that's, you can run, you can make millions of dollars off that and not look back. So if you are an artist, singer, producer, anything, I would say definitely get those tools, especially if you're an artist, learn to record yourself and, you know, learn those programs, Pro Tools, everybody, whether you're artist, engineer, you probably won't find a studio in the main world, for real, that don't have at least Pro Tools in it. But yeah, those are definitely the few programs you definitely need. And yeah, get your own setup. Get your own setup, please. It ain't that hard. It's $300-$400. You can have everything.
Yeah. Invest in yourself.
Yes.
100%. Got to.
Cool. And then last question we just like to ask people, and then specifically for you, what internet advice would you give to someone who would want to hop into the music industry, get their foot in the door? What's their first step? What advice would you give to someone wanting to just hop in at any angle?
Do exactly that. Hop in, jump. Don't think about it. I don't care, brother. It's music industry. It don't matter what you do. Jump in. Like, because best teacher is experience. No matter what somebody say, like, just jump in and don't be afraid to do it. Give your all and don't set up. I'm a firm believer. Do not set up for plan B. Like, there's no such thing. You know, all you got is plan A. And plan B is make plan A work another way. Like, simple as that. So it's like, if you ain't doing that, then I don't think this is the industry really for you, because I don't think you can really run through life with a back burn. Because how you gonna focus on the back burner if you're supposed to be focusing on this, and vice versa? So it's like, might as well just focus all up here, because back burner is there regardless. And if you don't, if this don't work out, you ain't got no choice but to go there. So
yeah,
so it's like, might as well give you all there. So that's my best advice: just jump. Do you be, you know, confident in what you want? You know, believe in what you want and what you got, your skills, and shoot for it. You know. That's probably the best. Limit outside opinions.
Mm-hmm. Dropping gems.
Like Kanye says, shoot for the stars. So if you fall, you land on the clouds. So.
Oh, God. Simple. Hey, man.
I feel that. But, man, J-Rod, would definitely appreciate you, man. Definitely appreciate your time.
For sure.
This is another episode of the Invited Podcast in the books. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, InvitedPod_. Follow us on Instagram, InvitedPod. And that's it, y'all. See y'all next week.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. I'm going to hit you up on everything, driving and stuff like that. And hey, man, appreciate it again, bro.
For sure. This was dope, man. Love, love, love.